Okay, mine says, the secret of health is moderation, harmony with yourself and nature, and a cheerful heart. Well, health is an individual thing. Everybody who is unhealthy is unhealthy for different reasons. But in my case, you know, I have rules that are so flexible that I am not rigid. My whole life is written in pencil because I might say yes, I might say no. It's the rigidness, I think, sometimes affects people when they always say no or they always say yes. It's the logic of when to say yes and when to say no. But some people are so into themselves that I can't do that. I had a donut this morning. And everybody goes, yeah, but you're going to have another one. No. Or look at all that processed food. Yes, but I allow myself. Every now and then I treat myself. And that's okay. But if you say, no, I can't do that. You know, that rigidity, even if you want to and you say no, you need to allow yourself permission to do things that you don't normally do, that it's not in your routine. And this keeps you flexible. And flexibility, it keeps you healthy. It's when you become rigid and I am a no person. You know, it's a yes, no, maybe. And so the rigidity can make you ill. So moderation to me is not only saying no, but also saying yes, I can. And so the harmony with yourself is when you can say yes, when you usually say no. And so this allows the different energies in your body to experience things. And experience is, you know, that's what we're here for, is experience. And if you deny things, then you're denying the pleasure or growth experiences. Now, I have a friend, and she makes the stupidest decisions ever. And then, as soon as she makes these decisions, then they last a long time. Like, I'm going to move with this guy. But you don't even know the guy. Yeah, he's coming. And so she is really miserable. And she calls me every day to tell me how miserable she is because of this decisions that she made. And so you have to be very careful with the decisions that you make, because that is what creates harmony. One time Joe, when we first started on this path, he said, every single thing in your life is built upon a decision that you have made. And I thought, I don't know about that. But then the more I thought about it, there you are because of the decisions that you have made. Whether it's a decision to forgive yourself, or to let go of harmful things, or to let go of things that have affected you positively and you lost them. But letting go is a decision. It is, I am not going to let this bother me anymore. And so when that's what every day is, you have a fresh chance to let go of anything that happened yesterday. And that's one thing Curtis taught me, is living in the now. And I didn't really understand that until I saw a lot of my friends that dwelled on the past. And I thought, but today you can make the difference. You can let go of it. You can make a different decision today. And it is a fresh start every day. And so I understood what that meant, living in the now. And people go, I have a little brother, he goes, well, what's your plan? I said, I don't have a plan. My life is unplanned. He goes, well, how can you live like that? And I says, well, because today I make the best decision that I can, and that will make a good plan for tomorrow. So as long as I know that I have made the best decisions that I could today, that tomorrow will take care of itself. And that seems to work for me. And in that, and a cheerful heart, knowing that today I made the best decisions that I could, or yesterday I made the best decisions, then that gives me pleasure because I know that I am where I'm supposed to be. I'm not affected by negativity from yesterday. I know that the relationships I have today are the best because I made the right decisions in the first place. So that's my secret to my excellent health.
Well, one thing about you, Sue, you are always cheerful.
Yes.
So
one thing I remember you saying, sister, is every decision is subject to change. So I can change, just because I make one decision today, I can change that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to make the same decision every day.
That's right. They said, well, I thought you were retiring in September. I said, well, that was so yesterday. And now I'm looking at spring. Now spring will come and they'll say, well, I thought you were retiring. Well, you know, pencil. You know, I'm always that flexible that I can change. It doesn't bother me to change. I accept it. I embrace it. You know, I move all the time, change my job all the time, keeps me young. You wouldn't know I was older than Joe.
I change.
The secret of knowledge is to seek until you find. And when it was found, to accept. I guess that begs the question of what is truth. And I'm very fond, one of my favorite scriptures comes from the Bhagavad Gita. It says, true self can only be known when beyond the five senses, the mind and the intellect, the soul perceives itself by itself. And so I think when we look at ultimate truth, it's on a plane higher than the physical, the emotional, and the mental. I think ageless wisdom refers to those as the three lower worlds. And I think the Eastern religion would refer to that more as illusion. It's not real. Of course, in miracles also, it's not real. So, what's the higher truth? And how do you find that? How do you transcend your beliefs and information? You know, facts change. And so, yeah, on one level, you can say truth is relative, but I think there is that absolute truth that's higher than those three worlds, and when you tap into that, I think it's a game changer.
Love your enemies, but don't give them your passwords. So I thought this was great. What I thought about was sometimes our spiritual gifts are our weaknesses. So my spiritual gift was that I could see someone's soul. I could see their spirit. I knew who they were at their core, but I would ignore their personality. And so I would end up being in relationships with people that I shouldn't because I knew who they were at their core and didn't pay attention to their personality. So in effect, I gave them my password.
Okay, let's give it to Adam or Artie. Is there anybody else that hasn't got one?
Yes, Sue.
Okay, let's get Susie one.
I'll start over again.
Okay. Always remember there is more to see than you are seeing, more to hear than you are hearing, more to feel than you are feeling, and more to believe than you are believing. There's two thoughts that come to mind. The obvious is that there's always more experience out there, right? we settle into our lives and think, this is, I found the ultimate, whether it's a spiritual high. A simple analogy is when I met Marnie, she had never eaten Mexican food.
No.
Not authentic Mexican. Yeah. So I introduced her to that, and it opened her eyes. She's like, well, what else can I try? So there's always, and this stops our spiritual progress, right? We see this in Orthodox religion. People just get stagnant. They're like, oh, I experienced God. I'm done. But the deeper meaning behind this, I think, is that as a wise teacher has taught me, the ideas of God and the experiences that can be had are unlimited, right? And so we shouldn't limit ourselves. Anything that we can dream of, experience, conceive, desire, all of those are already in the mind of God, and they can be experienced if we want them to be. So, yeah.
All right. Mind this, illusion is so powerful that it can cause even good and decent people to take the path of destruction. And when I was looking over Joe's shoulder when he wrote that, we both agreed. We're thinking politics, yeah. Right? And I don't know how much I want to get into that, because that can step on some toes, but there's just a lot of stuff coming from both sides of the political aisle that just sounds absolutely crazy. And you wonder about these people. They are decent people. And they say that, you know, they're looking for the good of the people. They represent their constituents, blah, blah, blah. But then some of the positions they take, you wonder, where are they getting these ideas? And who put them in their head? And why would they argue for it? And are they evil? And I don't know. I think there's some of them that are going down that path. I'm not saying they are. But it's just crazy. And right now, things are just absolutely crazy from both sides, coming from both sides. I kind of lean toward one side more than the other, but anyway, yeah, that's illusion. I think there's a lot of glamour in there too, emotional glamour. They have their power. I think a lot of their positions are personal power. But illusion enters into that, especially for the more mental. And also this can apply to religion, where you have people who are intelligent, very, very intelligent, and they're good people, but they get in a mindset and a group thing about a belief, and they will ignore everything else and just look at that. And anyone who questions that, they consider an enemy of the truth. So, anyway, that's it.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is almost everybody thinks they're doing the best they can. Oh, okay. Yeah, almost everybody thinks they're doing the best they can, even Hitler. You know, Hitler thought he was working for the freedom of the German people, and that he thought that was his mission. And he figured everything he did was best move possible. And almost everybody does. And this is where illusion comes in. As the person evolves, he gets control of his physical, his emotional, but the mind is very tricky, because it can take a person who has really good intentions, and he can be captured by some illusionary teaching that he embraces, that leads him down a dark path, and he thinks he's doing what's right. He's moral, he's got control of his passions, his body, he's got all this control, so he thinks he's on the right path. But if he's got illusion, like Hitler had the illusion that the Jews were the enemy of the human race, you know, and that led him down some really dark paths. And that was because the various teachers that he came across made him come to that conclusion. And if you come to some really wrong conclusion like that, you become very dangerous, even though your intentions are good. You know? So, and this is one of the quotes that we have, is that that once a person reaches this stage where he has to conquer illusion, he's very dangerous if he makes the wrong decisions. Okay, Suzuki, let's hear your wisdom.
Okay, mine is, says the only way to know if another has soul contact is to achieve it yourself. If one person who has achieved this contact can recognize another who has received it. What comes to mind is my visit with my sister and brother-in-law a couple of weeks ago. My brother-in-law has a really different kind of personality. It's super strong, and he's not the easiest person to be around, but he does have really good intentions, and his intention is to have a really intense, I would say, soul contact with his family members, which is our family's very small. So in my case, it was me. And so what I had to do is I had to really let my guard down and have a true soul contact with him. And that was difficult. That was really difficult for me. So it's difficult sometimes for me to have a true soul contact with other people. And I'm not sure why, but it's sometimes really hard to, because you have to let, it's almost like an onion, to peel off all the guard layers of protection that through our lives that we build up to have a true soul contact with other human beings. But once you do, then it's really special to have that contact with other people. It's really special. And I think we're all capable of doing that. But it's not easy. It's definitely not easy. You know, but I think all of us are capable of having true soul contact with each other. Because like JJ mentioned, you know, there's good and bad in all of us, and there's so many different influences that we have, you know, especially in today's world. You know, it's easy to be guarded, and it's easy to be influenced. So it's really special to have that soul contact with other individuals.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sue. Why don't you hand me the mic there, somebody?
Lucy, it's your turn.
Did we miss somebody?
No, we have everybody.
Well, the last one is interesting to contemplate because have you noticed, like, we have a group vibration where everyone in the group has raised up to a certain level. And, you know, when we meet somebody on the internet, which is where we meet most of the people that are prospects, if you, like with me, sometimes I think, well, this person might be a good prospect, and then you talk to them a little bit, and then you sense the vibration is different, and they're really not a fit. And then every once in a while you come across someone that you think, well, you know, their vibe is in harmony with what we're doing. If they're in the group, they would be a good addition. Last one we got was Emmanuel over there. When we met him, we had a good feeling about him.
Jason,
Oh, okay. That better?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we had a good feeling about him when we met him. And then before that, like Vivica, when she come across our consciousness, everybody felt really good about her. Just about everybody here were the same thing. So it's interesting that when you meet somebody that's in harmony with what you are trying to do, especially if it's a good work that moves humanity forward, you will get a feeling about them as if they are in harmony or not. I see you nodding your head, Rain. What do you think about that?
I keep thinking about the very first gathering that we had, about how, oh my gosh, we were so in love with each other. It was, we were so happy to finally found this family of people who vibrated the same. And even if they weren't the exact same when they got there, by the time we all left, we were. We all wanted to move into a commune together and share a house, and everybody moved to Idaho. It was wonderful. And at the gathering, like when we do that, I see the Christ in you exercise, looking at each other's side, and that connection that we have, that vibration that connects us, that is the most wonderful feeling in the world, better than family. My daughter is angry because I will spend money and come here and not go see her. But to me, this is so much more important than my daughter.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. We'll have to be sure and do that. Maybe we'll do it in the meditation coming. Yeah, Curtis?
Well, it kind of reminds me of, you have the onion, and in the center of the onion is the salt. And like Sue said, we have
all these layers guarding the light of the soul. And when we bring a person in that's not ready, we are capable of penetrating all those layers into their soul, and they receive a tremendous aha. This is a wonderful moment. It's an epiphany. Wow, you know, I'm on fire. And then they leave, and then they're covered again with all these layers of the onion, and they revert back to their primal state. And so, you know, you've had an effect on them while we're here at the gathering, but what makes this group different is that we've all let the layers of the onion dissolve, so that the, like Sue was saying, the sensitive, our sensitive nature doesn't have to be protected, because there's nothing here that's going to hurt it or disturb it to a point of discomfort. And that's why people have come and gone. They get penetrated and they feel it, aha, and then they go away and they forget how good that feeling really was. If half of those people that have come and gone over the last 20 years were here right now, they would acknowledge that and say, you know what, I'm really glad I'm here. But they forget how good it feels to have that soul conscience.
Yeah.
And we don't. We don't forget it.
So many people that come to the gatherings have been so great with us. Remember the woman who could dance like the angels? She saw in her vision?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I loved her. Where did she go? And the bishop? Christopher, I think? Bishop, I think Where did he go? I left him.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah. The other thing is, when you really achieve soul contact, nothing can threaten you. You know, you're unthreatenable because you live in that space of inner peace that your soul is protecting you.
Yes, you got to stay there.
Hmm?
It's not enough to get there, because you can get there at the gatherings, but you got to stay there. That's tough.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's all we have to stay connected.
Yeah.
Rain.
Okay. Well, my friends, good comments from everybody. Everybody here has got really nice wisdom and things to share, so we appreciate you all. And that's one thing everybody here has in common. They are thinkers and feel deeply and are in touch with their inner self. So we give you all recognition on that. Okay, we're going to take a short break and come back in about 15 minutes, and we'll have a meditation.